This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3199 for Thursday, the 5th of November 2020. Today's show is entitled Bad Audio Weed Eater Bugs Sprinkler and Bubbles. It is hosted by Operator and is about 25 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is pushing the definition of audible to the limit. Join us for some home repair tips.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with the host Operator. I'm recording on a Bluetooth, little crappy Bluetooth Plantronics $40 headset thing. So apologize for the audio. Last time I tried to record with a wired device and I kept knocking up against my chest, and so I figured this one would be a better just straight up audio capture. I'm outside. Today we're going to be talking about, before I get into that, we got a few things out here. We have a broken sprinkler. I'm going to talk about weed eater fixing, troubleshooting, carburetor stuff, my tie wrap fixing stuff, and maybe this balloon or this bubble machine over here. Maybe just talk about some of the hose stuff, irrigation stuff I'm doing. So it's kind of going to be a exploratory while I fix stuff. Episode. I have an old Makita that's probably 20 years old now. Buying new batteries for it. This will be my fourth battery I bought for it over the past, I don't know how long, like I said, 20 years. I got it 99, so yeah, 20 years. So I've had three or four batteries, if not more, in this thing. A chargeable battery lasts you about 3 years, depending, 3-4 or greater, depending on, but if it's starting to crap out on you and you've been charging it and keeping it cycled properly, if it's depending on what kind of battery it is. This is a 300 milliamp 12 volt Makita. I got a 300 milliamp, which is supposed to be 300 milliamp, but through these batteries online, you never really know. The sources are kind of reputable, and it's all really made in China anyways. You want two drills. If you can have two drills, don't ever give your other drill away, because when you're working and you need to drill and then you need to use a screw and a driver, having to switch bits back and forth is quite obnoxious. So if you can have a drill for drilling, I use this old Makita for drilling, and I use a nicer hammer drill for screwing and screws. And those things are awesome. If you can get a hammer drill, go for that. I think I did the 18 volt, if not the 12 volt. I think it's 14 volt. I didn't want a big old heavy battery. Wanted my wife to be able to use it, and I still struggle with it. It's upside down or sideways. You still have to push. The way the hammer drill works is it actually hammers in the screw for you while it's whatevering, but it's not idiot proof. You can't just throw the screw up there. You still have to push it in, but where those times it's going to strip out the screw, it'll save you. And if you put a fair enough amount, if you put all your force into it, it will literally screw the bit, twist the bit right off of the head right off of the bit. So you just have to be careful in that regard too. It's pretty strong once you get some pressure behind it. So anyways, I've got my drill bit here. I'm going to drill some holes in my sprinkler system. Sprinkler, little crappy sprinkler, you know, back and forth sprinkler head. These guys, you know, they're a dime a dozen. This is a Craftsman. They're all the same. They're all kind of garbage plastic. The mechanics, if you can keep the mechanics from crapping out and cracking and dry rotting, you can actually have these things last a long time. I've had this one for probably 10 years, since we moved into the house, so it's been about 10 years. When I first got it, of course, it lasted about a season. And then it started, there's a gear in here that keeps the little mechanism from spinning around. And it's hard to explain, but essentially there's a gauge here that you can say center, left, full, right. What happens is that this little thing spins around because the teeth on it are broken where it keeps it in motion. So it kind of sprays wherever the hell it wants to spray. So at one point I had glued this with what looks like some kind of glue. I glued it in here, and obviously that has not worked because over time, like anything, glue will crap out and give you problems. My newest solution for this type of stuff nowadays is a drill, and a drill and holes and tie wraps. So if you can imagine, whenever you have anything, for example, this plastic hinge I'm looking at here, where I keep some of my bits, which none of these are going to work. I'm going to need a really small one. So if you can imagine a hinge, plastic hinge, and the hinge cracks and breaks, or some kind of, you know, plastic garbage. What I end up doing, oftentimes, is kind of fixing things with tie wraps. So, you know, whenever you think you can use super glue to glue plastic together, try to use tie wraps first. And I probably said this on a quick tip. I'm going to kind of go over it here. You drill kind of the smallest hole you can drill without, with allowing still a tie wrap to go through it. So you need a good set of tie wraps. Not necessarily good, but cheap bunch of tie wraps. And you get a tiny little drill. And essentially you're drilling a hole in the two ends you want to connect together. So I want to connect this on full. So I'm going to find a place where the two holes kind of line up more or less. Drill a hole on one side. Drill a hole on the other side. Now I have a hole on one side of the thing that I want to stop doing. Fixing a lot of things with tie wrap where people would have thrown them away. Their tie wraps are just crisp ties, zip ties, people call them. Different colors. Usually the blacks tend to go pretty quickly because you're usually fighting with something. So if you're just doing work, it doesn't really matter. Try to use up your white tie wraps and save your black ones for stuff you want to hide. I've actually had to purchase tiny black ones before for computer, you know, cable management stuff. So I'm gonna try to pull this through the hole. It's a pretty big zip tie, so might have to drill a bigger hole. So anyways, am I here hear the cicadas? I'm in Georgia, Roswell, Georgia, in the United States, and, yep, well, it's tiny, but we're gonna make it work. Got the mail truck coming by, got birds singing, tomatoes, ready for our deer to eat. Now, I don't have any advice on tomato-eating deer. We have some netting up, but they tend to just kind of yellow and ignore the netting and eat whatever they want to eat. I didn't do that a couple of years ago. They stayed pretty docile. But here recently, this year, man, they are just, they know exactly when to pick them, and they come at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I know, excuse me, because, I have YOLO object recognition, darknet on my CCTV system, and the deer appear as dogs. That's good enough. The deer appear as dogs on the system, so now I've locked this in the more or less full position. Now the thing will fix. I'll tell you about these little O-rings, these plastic O-rings. that come with a hose setup. You want to buy you some silicon spray, and you want to spray silicon spray down in there kind of every time you service it. I actually should spray something down in here right as we speak. It's probably having a good time. Silicon spray and concrete in here. Silicon spray. Now, this has other, I want to say, silicon spray lubricates and protects. You want to be careful of silicon spray with extra crap in it. Designed to lubricate. You want to get like 100% silicon spray. This says non-staining lubricant, eliminates squeaky, extends the life. Preserve no other lubricant. Tell me what's in here, but it doesn't appear to be 100% silicon spray. But the Blaster stuff, I haven't had any issues with. Blaster also sells everything their Blaster stuff. Like, you put it on something rusty and you come back later and you just kind of take the Dremel tool to it with a brush head, and it'll just eat all that stuff off. The rust off, and hopefully you'll have a bolt or whatever that you can still unscrew or figure out what's wrong with it to get it to go. Mosquitoes are awful here. I spray with my own spray to bee friendly bug spray. Strangely enough, bee stuff. Bad news bears, man. When you use neurotoxin bee killing stuff, you'll let your guy use it. The guys will use the cheaper stuff. It's cheaper. They'll use the cheaper bee killing stuff. Obviously, it does kill more bees, but it also kills bees. They take it back to their hive, and it's a big mess. I'm going to check my sound before I spend too much time babbling here. Nope, still good. So I fixed my thing. I'm going to water my lawn a little bit here before it gets too high. It's early in the morning enough to where I can get a little bit of so I ran off on a tangent about water buff. I use like a Stryza 2 and a backpack blower. And what's it, Maverick? I use Maverick and the Stryza IC3. And I use 0.5, it is a very small bottle of the Maverick, as opposed to the Bifton. I use indoors for the bugs, for indoor. It's called Bifton IT, I think. Bifton I/T for indoors. Field bees don't use it. Maverick outdoors, 0.5 I use on the whole, I want to say 3.5 gallon, 2.5 gallon, whatever. And the Stryza is like 4, it's like 12 ounces. This stuff's not cheap. I'll try to buy it in bulk. But I spray every 30 days. Try to spray every 30 days. Sometimes I don't have to. I'm out in the yard. No problems, nothing's biting. But other days, just depending on the weather and the chain and the life cycle of the mosquitoes, people get eaten alive out here because we have these tiger, whatever they call it, tiger mosquitoes that are not native. If you ever grew up around the 90s, in Georgia at least, you didn't have mosquitoes during the day. You had mosquitoes at night, and you went in your backyard at night, and then you get bit. But these tiger ones are out during the day, especially in well-established neighborhoods with lots of ivy and people not taking care of their gutters, leaving standing water everywhere. These little tiger guys will destroy you. That's a quick tangent on that. We fixed the sprinkler. I'm gonna kind of clean up later, but as I'm cleaning up, stuff I'll tell you about. I got a little bubble machine that I'll be using 4th of July here. I've had it for 2 or 3 years. It's just a fan. circle, kind of a hexagonal shape. You see it on Amazon a lot. Hexagonal shape, it's got a fuse on it, it's kind of cute. And it's pretty good. It goes clockwise and counterclockwise, so you got to turn it on in the right direction to get it to go clockwise, because it actually works better clockwise than counterclockwise. But you can mix up some. Your mixtures are good, and I use a little bit of the Super Bubble recipe that has just water, whatever soap, whatever you can find. If you happen to find a particular brand like Joy that does just Super Joy, whatever, they don't have actual regular Joy anymore, or any of the regular soaps, they're all Super Power or whatever BS. But this stuff is called, you mix in a powder with it called, I want to say guar gum powder to help. And it's like half a teaspoon of guar gum powder, and it helps the stability of the bubbles, I think, or maybe something like that. But it makes for better, longer bubbles. You can get together two sticks, stick a piece of yarn, get you some guar gum, make you some awesome giant bubbles that are, I don't know, 3 feet tall, at least, if not a lot taller, if you're good at it. So that's that. I'm kind of talking and cleaning. What else was I going to talk about? The weed eater. I found a weed eater on the road. I fixed probably 5 or 6 small engines at this point. It started when I got 2 free blowers way back from Chicken House. And I was using those to spray with. Sold one for $350. Rebuilt the carburetor, sold it, cleaned it, took parts out of it. And then I had one kind of half jacked up one, and I used it for about 3 years. Bought a new carburetor for it because I couldn't get it to start, and of course it was a carburetor. So anyways, a little troubleshooting. There's a guy, it's like he talks about half a can of beer is how long it's gonna take. I can't remember that guy's name, but if you Google like tuning weed eater tuning or weed eater carburetor, he's like the first hit. It's orange is his logo. But he has really great tips on how to get carburetors to work on weed eaters and adjusting the carburetor. You want to get a little carburetor kit. They're like, you know, $6 for a carburetor tool kit. But anyways, I'm troubleshooting this thing. I've never had any problems fixing stuff in general. Usually I can clean up, you know, brush off the spark plug or clean the carburetor out. I cleaned the carburetor out, found it on the right side of the road, of course. Clean the carburetor out, nothing. Let me clean up as I'm talking. I clean out the carburetor, nothing. It's kind of shoddy looking carburetor, but they all kind of look used. Take them apart, obviously. And I cleaned, put fuel in it. I cleaned the spark plug. And I was able to kind of get it to start, but it wouldn't stay started, and it seemed like it wasn't getting fuel, so I kept messing with it. Finally, I was able to get it to run and work for a few minutes, and then, of course, it stopped working, and I haven't touched it for a few years. I said, well, I'll give it another shot. Give it another shot, and I start to notice the reason it's not getting gas or fuel, I actually swapped the spark plug out. And the tubing was all rotted originally for it, so I had to replace the tubing and the burping thing to get the fuel in there, which those things, I don't know if they actually do anything, to be honest with you. The primer pumps, they don't seem to really matter either way. This thing was just being difficult, and I just happened to notice when I had the fuel, the fuel cap partially unscrewed, it was running, and I was like, huh. And if you know anything about it, there's like a little bit of a vacuum in there, or the otherwise a non-vacuum pressure thing, and that pressure forces gas into the carburetor, I guess. So there's either a vacuum or pressure or something going on there to get gas into the unit. So I tried to clean out the little thing, of course, and of course it was all very, very limiting in the amount of air that was allowing to go in there. So I just straight up poked a hole straight through the top of the gas cap to let it get air. Now, that might be another indicator that something within the carburetor is broken, but this was able to fix it. Well, the problem with having a hole in the top of your gas tank is that pressure, excuse me, I have a cough for like two weeks. The problem with having a hole in the top of your gas tank is that it spews gas all over the place. Makes a big mess. I don't even know what this is. I think that's cat shit that my wife surprisingly left me to clean up, apparently. This is all going inside. So, you know, it works, but I'm trying to hedge the yard. Trim the yard deal. And, of course, gas is spewing out all over the place, making a big mess. So that's kind of an interesting thing about, you know, you need spark, you need fuel, you need carburetor working, you need good gas mix, you need all those things, but you also need the right pressure inside of the tank. And like I said, I don't know if it's a vacuum or not, I can't remember, but that's something to keep in mind. If you're ever troubleshooting this stuff, get to use some carb cleaner. That's always fun to help get stuff started. Safety first, wear safety goggles. You don't want to be like me and spray carburetor cleaner directly, excuse me, in your eyeball, because that is not fun. That was awful. Didn't have to go to the hospital, thank God, but you can actually burn your cornea with that type of stuff and end up with a bad day. I'm going to put the garbage can back where it goes. I was using it to proper clean the bubble machine. Think about the bubble machines, obviously, if they make a mess. And if you use the lemon joy, it's actually kind of hilarious because your kids are clean end up smelling like lemons. It's kind of funny. You just tell them, oh yeah, just take your kid and shower them off. All you got to do is add water and they'll be clean because, you know, they get the soap all over them, running back and forth through it. They don't really play in it as long as you would think, even with a couple of them. It's kind of like a, and then it's a fleeting moment. It's really interactive bubbles are the way to go. You get the little bubble trays, and then you get the big bubble things where they can spin around and make a big mess. Those are the funnest ones. Your standard vertical style bubble things are just a mess. They knock them over and the bubbles go everywhere. So you just pour it in a tray, let them do the tray. If you've ever been to fairs and stuff, they'll actually fill up a wheelbarrow full of juice and all kinds of elaborate ding-dangs and whatnots and wands, and they'll use those. So my sprinkler is a little, there's one of the things. What you have to do is back flush them every once in a while because the little holes will get stuck up, and there's a little pin at the end that you can use it to kind of back flush. So you shove a paperclip in there, or whatever you want to shove inside the hole, and as it's backwashing, or as the little thing is open, it'll come out the tip. It's kind of hard to explain, but that's how you clean it. There's a little release on the end of the sprinkler, the little easy back and forth guy, and that's how you clean them out. What else we got? Cat poop. There's nothing super interesting there. Working on a cat feeder, might do that one. Oh, the irrigation stuff. I've had problems. It's all plastic garbage, so I'm going to try to get a commercial irrigation system. I don't know how much that's going to cost. Your basic Orbit brand is like 99 or 50 bucks, 60 bucks, I think. And it's plastic, and you screw it on plastic on metal, and bad things happen in general. I don't know why. The threads are different or something I'm missing. Maybe there's a step down way you're supposed to like plug plastic. You know how very nice Kubota. You know how when you do if you do pipe, you don't want to get the wrong shark bite, which is the automatic, almost idiot-proof plumbing stuff. So if you do like copper to PEX, you have to get a special kind. Or if you do PEX to PEX, you have to get a special kind. If you're going from PEX to copper, you have to get a different kind or whatever. The same thing with the whatever the hell I was talking about. I think there might be some kind of step down where I'm supposed to, like, instead of screw it directly onto the faucet, I've got a two-way split. But it goes to the hose, normal standard hose, and then to the irrigation system, which is only like four hops. You can get a kit for cheap. The problem is that this little scheduling thing, it cracked at the head. And of course, there's no way to fix that. And I've had, I think this is the first one I've had. It's lasted me like three seasons. I've only used it for about three or four seasons, and everything's broken. There's no way to really fix water pressure issues, especially if it's all plastic garbage. So I'm going to opt in to try to find some commercial grade cleaning, commercial grade whatever device. I think that's pretty much it. I talked about the weed eater. I talked about some of the water stuff. Like I said, this is kind of an exploratory episode, so if you're bored, you're probably not listening anyway. That's pretty much it. Not a whole lot of other projects going on. I might do one on the rebuild of my food box. That's a different conversation altogether. Anyways, hope maybe this helps somebody, or at least will help myself in 3 years when I forget. Take it easy.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.